You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Tracks back. I wanna suck your mom. Tracks back. I wanna suck your mom.
Blood, right? Tracks back. I think so, yeah. WMDX 92.7 is John and Gordy getting up, gearing up for Halloween tomorrow. We'll be talking ghosts tomorrow.
Ooh.
And convincing Gordy that there are such things as spirits.
Okay. It is 6:35, and we have clear skies and 36 degrees.
Okay.
Highs today in the low to mid-50s. Tim Slacker joins us from Busted Pencils. Education talk about education talk.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Something like that. Good morning.
That's a hard tagline.
Educated educators talking about education. That's what...
Talking education. Okay. We talk education.
Tim, let me ask you before we get into the weeds on everything else with Ryan Walters and everything. Yeah. Do you believe in ghosts? You're an educated person.
You know, actually pay attention tomorrow to Producer's Choice episode when it drops, because our producer, Jacob, asks us that question directly.
Oh, okay.
And I will, you know, kind of give a hint. I myself have not really seen what I think is a ghost, but I witnessed my dog, who absolutely saw a ghost.
Oh, yes, yes. Animals get can't.
How do you
animals
know that?
Can see
what?
Ghosts, yes.
What do you mean?
Yes, animals have
okay, to. Have a discussion with him? What?
Gordy.
Calm
down.
No, look, the setting, perfect music. He's my dog. He's my hunting dog. Uh-huh. And we're, you know, doing a. Walking around in the rural fields, backfields of Pennsylvania, and come up on an old cemetery. And as we turn the corner and come into the cemetery, my dog, who is typically nose to the ground looking for pheasants and rabbits, stops dead, looks at something with an intensity, and his hair stood up on all over the place, and he wouldn't go forward.
Wow. I've got goosebumps just from listening to this.
I've never seen anything like that ever.
Yeah. With
something was there that was incredibly disturbing to this dog, who typically, you know, and has charged skunks, has charged, you know, anything, but something that day in that cemetery. So there you go, Gordy. Okay. What do you think?
So Gordy, you changed your mind,
maybe,
right?
There was a cat behind one of the gravestones.
That's terrible. That's just terrible.
That's just
animals nothing have that to ability it. To see something that's there, but you can't see it. They have that ability, that sense. So
look,
yeah,
I'm just telling you, he was
that's
very
a great story.
Disturbed in a way that made me go,
yes,
wow, what the heck?
I'm not
is going
there.
Going on?
Why and, are you walking your dog in a cemetery anyway? Lots of things for him to mark, I guess, huh?
Well, it's
oh my
it's,
god,
it's,
Mark
it was hard. It was one of these kind of old rural.
Okay.
Well, cemeteries,
abandoned,
you know, that
never used
the park we were hunting in. Yeah, and they were just like, it kind of was like they left it there. And, you know, whoever was hanging out in under the ground there must have been, you know, up having some tea or drinking. And and we came up on them, and my dog realized that they were there. And I guess one of those ghosts must have looked at him with the sense of going, like, if you come any closer, dog.
That's right.
And he knew.
Okay. Well, we have a text from Kurt. It says, so if you believe that there is a God, how does that work? And if you believe that there is a God, maybe that God is just messing with you, Gordy.
Okay.
Just saying.
What if you don't believe in God, but you believe in ghosts? Where does that leave you?
Wait a minute.
Okay. All right. Let's ponder that for a moment.
No, let's not ponder any of that. You're just trying to get out of the fact that you have already been told a couple of ghost stories, and you're denying the fact that there are such things as ghosts. Sorry about that, friend.
I think ghost stories have been around for a long time, and they're just left over from the early days of humankind. You know, what else did they have to do back then except make up stories about ghosts?
Okay. Last Saturday, I went to see the Psychic Sisters. And the one Psychic Sister was letting us, you know, telling us about a time that she was in a haunted hotel and a spirit scratched her leg. And that scratch got infected and led her to the emergency room. So there you go, Gordy.
Wow. How are you going to explain that?
I mean, she was in the emergency room because of the ghost scratching her.
Okay.
That's right.
You know, it's a great story. do you have any documentation on that?
Any photos? Any video?
Okay.
She had a scratched, infected leg.
Yes. There probably are photographs of that.
That's hardcore evidence there, man.
Well, it's evidence. Okay. Yes, it's medical evidence. They probably have a record of that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. There you go. Great. You've changed my mind. I believe in ghosts. Okay. Can we move on? I guess a lot of people have ghost stories, and I've never witnessed anything close to this stuff.
Tim, thanks for bringing up the fact that pets do have that ability to see spirits.
Yeah.
Completely forgot about that aspect of it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's get into another ghostly story about Ryan Walters, still alive.
Ryan Walters.
the zombie Ryan Walters continues to stalk the earth.
You can't keep him down.
No, you can't.
What's he been up to lately?
He's on to new and better things. He's finally has got a focus with enemy number one, the unions.
Well, you know, it's one of those crazy groups, right? You know, crazy names, and when there's when they have a crazy name, you know that they're absolutely a right-wing group, and it's Teacher Freedom Alliance.
Yes, because those teachers have been looking for someone to free them from union dues.
That's right. Yeah.
The oppression of the union requiring dues payments.
That's right.
Do you understand the bondage that is put up in there?
I know all the pensions that they have to put up with, all the rules.
The suffering every month that a teacher goes through to see that deduction on their paycheck for their union dues.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a whole set of mental health counselors dealing with the trauma of union dues.
That's right. That's right. These are freeloaders. There's a Supreme Court case that allowed teachers and all public employees basically to not have to pay union dues because they are against unions and union dues. So they were allowed that by the Supreme Court, which is crazy because, you know, we had that here with Act 10 in the state with Scott Walker, and they made it seem like it was just really unfair. But the point here is that if you get into public service, you know there's going to be a union there, and you know you're going to pay union dues. Why did you get into this in the first place? If you don't want to pay union dues, you don't want to be a part of a union, don't get a job in a union. I don't know why they didn't ask me to argue this in front of the Supreme Court. But
okay.
That's what I would have said. I would have said, you guys have a choice. You can take a walk. You can leave the building and say, I'm not working for a union, and find a job someplace else. But you don't have a right to take a job in a union and then say you don't want to pay the damn dues. Damn it. Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. Settle down here.
I guess
take a deep breath.
My work is done here.
Wow. I know, Perry Mason, look out.
Ooh. Well, but okay, so kind of what you just said, so why is Ryan Walters still animated? Because the Supreme Court said, okay, you don't have to pay your dues.
Yeah.
Seems to me like the problem's been solved now.
That's then. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I can join a union and not pay.
Get all the benefits.
End of story. So what is it that...
What is he doing then?
What is he going after at this point?
Yes.
You know, he's the Freedom Alliance, Teacher Freedom Alliance. Actually, too, and I was thinking about this, you know, I've done... believe it or not, a lot of work with teachers over the years. And I can actually probably testify pretty strongly that they do feel incredibly not free. And when I ask them about that sense of bondage, of feeling restrained, of never have they ever told me the $35 union dues is what...
Yeah. It's funny how that works like that.
It's politicians who put, you know, regulations on what they're allowed to teach, when they're supposed to teach. It's, you know, sometimes school leaders who have a sense of, you know, going after test scores, and so therefore, you know, teaching anything creatively is against the rules. And well, and again, where does that come from? From politicians who put in place policies that are, you know, kind of framed as, well, we need this to help the kids. And the reality is that actually what it does is stifle and put teachers in bondage so that they're not able to teach. I didn't see any of this. Now, we're talking about this new article in the 74, you know, that's highlighting what Ryan Walters is up to now. I didn't see that the bondage he was going after was the freedom to teach.
Right.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, that's how simple it is. I did research on, I had like 450 teachers across the country filling out a survey about, you know, what it is about teaching. And this is dealing with, you know, the exodus, why teachers are quitting, why they're leaving. And actually, very simply, it was, if I was just allowed to teach, I wouldn't be thinking of leaving. The freedom to teach. And Ryan, come on, man, you are out there. You have the ability. You even are now with the Teacher Freedom Alliance.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, I know teachers are out there saying, we need some freedom.
Thank God. Yeah.
We got a text here from, I believe it's Bud in Janesville. Hey, John and Gordy, if a public school teacher doesn't want to pay union dues, just tell them to go work in a parochial school and make a lot less money. Love your show. That's Bud from Janesville.
Good point, Bud. Right. That's what it's all about. And we'll continue this discussion and what they're all about and what Ryan Walters is all about in just a few moments.
Yeah, it's our two-year anniversary here on John and Gordy. We got a note from our former producer, Sam Davison, who says, love hearing angry Johnny again. Congrats on 2 years on the air. Too bad Catherine's firing all three of you tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, that's
thanks
right.
for the heads up there, Sam. Back with more of John and Gordy after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
That's what we need. We need an Adam brain to control things. But, you know, I think that's even smarter than AI. So, all right, this is John and Gordy in the morning here on WMDX 92.7.
It is 6:53. We'll see sunshine this morning, some clouds this afternoon, highs in the low to mid-50s. Right now, 37 degrees here. We continue our conversation here with Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils, a great podcast you can hear on the Civic Media Network. You can check it out on the app, yep. Civic Media app.
Mm-hmm.
You drop new episodes every week, right, Tim?
Oh, yeah, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and again, remind everybody, on your radio dial, if you, you know, still have a radio, on Saturdays at 3 o'clock.
There you go. Okay. 1 hour yeah. program, too. All
right. 1 hour program. I mean, and that there, you know, if you need some indoctrination, we got it.
Okay.
Good. You know.
Doctor of indoctrination, like Tim Slecker. we're talking about Ryan Walters, and his next quest, of course, is to drive out Marxism in the schools. So you were kind of fascinated by the fact that maybe these students are learning about Marxism after all, and that is education, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I would think that as a, you know, a professional that he is, that he wouldn't just be going after some kind of fake problem,
right?
You know, there must be, you know, really
this is hardcore, a real
one. Yeah. Hardcore documented evidence mm-hmm. that our children, our kids, must be, you know, we know they're not proficient at reading and math. There must be an assessment out there I haven't seen yet that shows, though, that they are absolutely proficient at being able to talk about Marxism, maybe even so proficient that they're able to influence society and that they are potentially now at the point of totally turning our economy into a socialistic Marxist economy. Because if you look around, you can see evidence everywhere that, you know, we don't have an oligarchic capitalistic system where 1% of the population owns everything.
Yeah.
You know, because that would be evidence of not Marxism.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank God that's not, you know, that's not happening in this country. So,
You know, but those are the things where you sit down and rationally, hopefully somebody would say,
wait a minute.
I don't see that capitalism is under threat in America.
Exactly.
there's no evidence that capitalism is on the ropes.
Capitalism on the ropes. I love that.
Yeah. So you point this out and go, it's just like, so beware on Halloween of people wearing masks, you know, or misdirecting us in a direction that would say, instead of looking here where there's, you know, a ton of evidence, look over here at something that I would rather you pay attention to that really has no bearing on anything.
Right.
And you know, understand that really is that's the attack on something, you know, that maybe doesn't exist. You know, is it that Marxism, and this is what I know this is the truth, we use that label, I'm not part of that but that label comes across largely from the standpoint of mostly, to me, really good education that helps students get into a place where they have questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hear questioning, oh, that must be Marxism.
Right.
Yeah.
that must be.
The kids came out with an understanding of the crash of the stock market and the things that led into that, and now they have an ability to look at history and ask questions today of the economy. Mm-hmm. Oh, crap, they're Marxists.
Yeah.
You know it. you know that that's what's going on, because no one would have any questions about an economy that distributes wealth to the wealthy and distributes pain and suffering to the poor. Why would you question that?
Yeah, it's hard to even imagine doing something as ridiculous as that.
You know, so yeah. You know, this is that part. And you say we would like to suppress the masses through our own indoctrination. And that's where I just wish there was more honesty about this in saying that, you know, we're just not happy with what we believe is the indoctrination of critical thinking. We would like to get back to instilling compliance and pay attention and do what you're told.
Yeah.
That's it. Because that's what schools have always been good at, is compliance. And actually, Ryan, I want to point out the evidence. They're still really, really good at creating citizens who just actually go along and pay attention and don't cause a whole lot of trouble.
No.
Our public school system is probably the best insulation to any attempts to overthrow capitalism.
I agree.
There you have it. Okay.
But Gordy,
yes, my
fish, I just saw my fish. It must have saw a ghost.
Really?
You could see the way it moved.
Really?
Yeah.
It just swam there. It just stayed in one place and it was freaked out.
Maybe it's dead. Okay.
Wait. You mean being upside down and floating isn't evidence that it's all ghost? No.
I thought Tim, it was just a different style of swimming.
Tim Slecker, thank you for joining us. Check out Busted Pencils on Civic Media. We've got a whole lot more right ahead. John and Gordy.
WNBX 92.7. It's John and Gordy in the morning. Check us out on the Civic Media app if you can, WMDX, and then text us, voice note us, or just give us a call and get in on the program.
Weather for today looks just fine. Clear skies this morning. We'll see a lot of sunshine. Highs around 59 degrees. Right now it's 38 here. And time for us to welcome in our guest, Sharon Bowie. Sharon, good morning. Good to have you with us this morning.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Tell us about the organization that you're with and about this event coming up. Give us a little bit of background on this.
Okay. Well, the event is a gala that will be on November 22nd at the Goodman Center. It's by Moses, which is a satellite organization of the Wisdom Organization. And what we do, or what they do, is they work for systemic change in the criminal justice system to try and make it more equitable for individuals who are incarcerated and who are released from incarceration.
Now, Moses stands for Medicine Organizing in Strength, Equity, and Solidarity.
That's correct.
So it's an acronym.
Yes, it is.
All right.
And how did you become involved with this organization?
Well, I'm a member of a couple of different criminal legal organizations that seek, as I said, systemic change, and Moses is a part of some of those organizations. Mm-hmm. For some reason, they decided to honor me with the Transformation Award at their upcoming gala.
Mm-hmm. And
do you think you deserve it?
You must have an idea why they're honoring you. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal story?
You're out there promoting this, so that's fantastic, right?
Well, I'm deeply honored to be considered for this award. I believe it's an indication of when commitment meets transformation. And as a result, you become a little bit bigger than yourself. Mm-hmm. Whether or not I deserve it, that's up for the individuals who are bestowing that.
Now, you're at the Office for Justice Reform.
Yes, now, in Dane County.
Now, that works together with Moses on this as well, right?
Well, actually not. We recently had a sequential intercept model training at the Alliant Energy Center, and Moses was one of the invitees there.
Okay, all right. Now, is there reform taking place? Are they actually making reform happen, or just at least getting their two cents in?
Well, Moses is absolutely going to get their two cents in. They attend numerous county functions and I believe city functions to make their opinions known on some of the criminal legal issues mm-hmm. that are happening in the state and in the city. I can tell you the Office of Justice Reform is a relatively new office in Dane County, and we're doing as much work as we can to reform the criminal legal system here to make it, again, more equitable for everyone.
Is there a bail type of situation that you're trying to reform, or has that been reformed?
Well, as I said, the Office of Justice Reform is new,
yeah.
and we're under tremendous leadership from our director, and she has us looking at various options, and, you know, we're looking at best practices throughout the United States
yes.
to try and figure yeah. out what we can import here to Dane County to make this a right. better place.
Talking with Sharon Bowie here now. Now, I understand you're not the only person that's going to be recognized at this fundraiser on November 22nd at the Goodman Center. There are three justice-impacted individuals who have worked through stigma and disparity to transform their lives. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal story or how you, you know, how things have changed for you?
Sure. You know, the one thing I believe is that true gold fears no fire. So I don't necessarily lead with my personal story, but if anyone wants to know, I don't try and hide or run from it either. I am legally system impacted. I was released from incarceration 5 years ago, about 5.5 years ago. Since that time, I've tried to atone for some of the actions that caused me to be incarcerated, that gave rise to that incarceration. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I'm proud of, but it's something that I use to try and be an example to those individuals in the community to know that you don't have to be defined by the worst event in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you work with the Madison Justice Team, is that right?
Yes, I do.
And so do you work with individuals that are going through some of the same kind of things that you went through after being incarcerated?
Well, the Madison Justice Team is more like a satellite organization that consists of numerous organizations who are working together toward the goal of reforming the justice system here.
Changing the system.
Okay. Yeah. And working for Dane County, you know, my job is as a data and evaluation analyst or coordinator. And what I do is I get the actual quantitative data and I marry it with the qualitative data to try and find some solutions and to see if we can possibly just make a little bit of incremental change to make it better for everyone. Now, as for personal interactions with individuals who are legally system impacted, I'm the former associate director for Just Dane, who will be recognized on November 22nd. And in that position, I did have the opportunity of working directly with legally system impacted folks to try and change the trajectory of their lives.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, Just Dane, they supply jobs?
No, Just Dane does not supply jobs, but they're
but a they
conduit.
Direct people?
Yes, yes they're
okay.
a conduit.
That's what I thought, yes. Yes, because we've dealt with that organization before here on the show.
Yeah, they were formerly Madison Area Urban Ministry.
Yes.
And they have some outstanding individuals who work there.
Mm-hmm.
It was very bittersweet, and it was very unnerving for me to leave that position to take this position, but mm-hmm. I felt that I can be more strategic in trying to change the system rather than more tactical while working at Just Dane.
Now, I wonder how frustrating it is. I mean, you have mentioned like maybe 3 or 4 or 5 different groups all working for this same ending, reform. You know, we want to get reform going. What is the roadblock? What is the one thing that we really need to consider as the roadblock to any kind of reform that you and Moses and everybody else, all these other organizations are striving to accomplish?
Well, we have different perspectives as to what constitutes reform. For instance, one person's reform is another person's setback. Mm. So what we have to try and do, at least this is my opinion, being on the Federal Defender Services Board, for example, also the Madison Justice Team, Office of Justice Reform, is we need to try and get consensus among the groups as to what particular issue we're going to pursue. When you have numerous groups trying to incorporate divergent interests at the same time, it dilutes what it is you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
Whereas if we could get everybody on the same page for just one, not five or six or seven, just one change that we would work on, I think we would be much, much more effective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what would be that one change, or maybe a couple of issues that could be that one change? What do you
in
think?
Your mind. Yeah.
Well, I think that the one change that we could get accomplished if we all put our minds together and our interests and our activities is to work on the parole issue. That, to me, is the biggest issue, because approximately 36% of individuals who go to prison go back for parole violations. Mm-hmm. So if we could somehow address that issue, and that mm-hmm. issue only, we would significantly reduce the number of individuals who are incarcerated. Now, there are a number of factors that go into this: personal responsibility, the way that you view society, all these things go into that. But I think that we could actually make some strides on working on just the parole issue.
So it's parole violations, essentially, trying to keep that down.
Yes.
Or eliminate that part of it, right?
Well, definitely to keep it down, but I don't think that we could actually eliminate it, because then again, personal responsibility.
Yes,
if you're on parole and you engage,
and it's a tough life, and you know, anything can happen, right?
Well,
personal responsibility is what it's all about.
Well, that's where it starts.
Yeah.
It starts there, and I think that as a group, as individual groups, we need to make that our mantra. Mm-hmm. Let's first start with individual personal responsibility, and then we work from there. That's the foundation upon which we set any actions that we're going to try mm-hmm. and engage in.
Mm-hmm. So keeping opportunities alive for those individuals that need this help, this reform.
Yes. Well, you want to have, there are opportunities. And that's one of the things that I want to try and stress, is that there is a misconception that there aren't opportunities. Let me give you a quick example. Your reentry or your reintegration in society doesn't begin when you leave the prison gates. It actually begins while you're in prison, to take advantage of the opportunities that are there. And there are significant opportunities for individuals who are incarcerated. And that makes the transition so much easier. However, there are a number of issues that sometimes get in the way of individuals taking advantage of those opportunities. One of them is by people telling them that they don't have opportunities, because it becomes easy to rationalize your behavior or to vitiate your situation because everyone's told you you can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, so why should I try?
Right. Wow. Fascinating. Okay. Well, Sharon, the celebration, the Transformation Celebration 2025, again, it's happening November 22nd at the Goodman Center here in Madison from 5 until 9 p.m. If people want to find out more, is there a way to do that? You have something online about this?
Absolutely. You can go to the Moses website. Okay. That's Moses.com, and you can punch it up and you can see the information there. And you might see this ugly guy with a little bio. Just ignore him. You know, don't go crazy.
What are you talking about? Come on, man.
Then we go from there.
Okay. Well, you know, good luck at the celebration. I'm sure that'll be quite the night. And again, it's open to the public, right?
Yes, it is. November. You can purchase your tickets now. You can purchase them up until November 15th.
Okay.
We'd love to have you come down there just to meet some of the individuals who are change agents in our county and in our city. They're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful to connect on that interpersonal level, to just sit back, eat some good food, listen to some good stories, and maybe just have some good companionship.
Sharon, who's your guest?
My guest is going to be...
No, right here. Right here.
The person sitting next to me
this
is...
Yeah, this young man over here.
This is Dante. He is my grandson who is now living with me, and he's been just perfect here. He's been really great.
Yes, he has.
Very, very well behaved.
I'm sure he's amazed by what radio is like, right?
How old is Dante?
Dante is 9 years old.
Excellent. Well, he's your helper today. That's great.
Yes, he is.
Sharon Bowie, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And again, we'll have some information on our Facebook page, the Transformation Celebration with the Moses Organization, November 22nd, again, at the Goodman Center here in Madison from 5 till 9 p.m. We appreciate your time today. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Very good.
All right.
Okay.
Let's get to Let's get to one of these stories here. I think this is a little interesting. You know, it is the demand that Trump get $230 million in taxpayer money. And Democratic Congressman Jamie Raskin, thank you for stopping by, brings the hammer down on Donald Trump by announcing an investigation to get the entire paper trail for his jaw-dropping corruption demand for $230 million in taxpayer money from the Justice Department. You know, Jamie Raskin's not going to let this guy walk away with all this money without anybody knowing it.
Yeah,
the details are likely to remain confidential, and that's the problem, allowing Trump to carry out this heist in partial secrecy anyway. In other words, Trump could get his hands on the money and the American people wouldn't find out until some future date, at which point it would be too late to stop him.
Something tells me it's already too late. No, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Well, nobody's going to stop him.
We'll see.
Okay. All right. It is 7:49. We'll be back to wrap things up in just a moment on John and Gordy on WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Not a good thing to know. WNDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
23 minutes past the hour. 37 degrees, highs today in the low to mid-50s. Going to be a nice day. Hey, let's go to the phone lines. An old friend of ours is online this morning on WMDX. Good morning, Sly.
Good morning. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, this is unbelievable, isn't it?
Hard 2 years.
2 years in radio is like 2 decades.
It is.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It feels like 2 decades, too.
Well, I just mean, you know, radio's a little unsettled, right?
A little, yeah. You know that, yeah.
Yeah, I've been through the ringer.
Yes, you have.
Several times, yes. We were just talking about how we knew each other way back in the early days of WMAD. I remember, Sly, you were doing overnights, I think, to start out there very early on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think that's when the mob owned it.
Pretty sure. Oh, those were the days.
and then at WIBFM, you were doing overnights. Is that correct? You took over when I was fired. The big clearing house there.
Mm-hmm.
So that person kind of reminded me a little bit of Donald Trump. A little bit.
Lee Leisinger.
Okay.
A little inside stuff there, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything's good, though. You know, the nice thing is you can go to bed at night now in America and wake up in the morning and just realize everything will be just fine.
the big government is looking out after us.
That's
now.
Right.
They've tapped our phones. Yeah. Why not?
Everything's good. You know, when I saw a tear gas canister being thrown at a Presbyterian priest in Chicago.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, that's what Thomas Jefferson wanted.
You know, you're right. Yeah.
I think that's what the MAGAs voted for, isn't it?
Wow.
But, you know.
Well, some of them probably did.
But
to be fair.
That's true. That's true. But, you know, that guy that is heading up, heading up ICE in Chicago is so outrageous. It's so out there.
The judge smacked him down pretty good the other day.
Yes, I know. And she should have. But he got out of the courtroom, and then he's waving to the crowd from the door, from his open door in his vehicle. Wow.
Fascists will be fascists.
Yes, they will be.
You know what's weird, though? Some people, Trump is obviously very unpopular, but why would someone like John Fetterman or Bill Maher, for that matter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hop on the bus when it's going off a cliff.
Right. Yeah, I don't get that.
What?
Yeah.
I don't understand that at all.
Oh, I know. Bill Maher just went off the rails a couple of weeks ago, and I can't listen to him anymore. I won't listen to him anymore because he's gone.
He wanted Zoran Mamdani to renounce his Ugandan citizenship.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just
crazy times we live in. Sly, what have you been up to?
We should have asked Elon to do that, for his South African citizenship.
Right.
Well, I got to speak at one of the No Kings rallies, the one in Monroe, and it was so great to speak to people and see so many people in small towns show up. To me, Madison, Milwaukee, Chicago, that's all great. But when you have people showing up in places like Baraboo, I think that's what's important.
By the way, I watched your speech in Monroe. So, it was great. It was really good to see.
You heard me say that the Trump crowd are low-rent traders, I believe is what I call them. Yeah.
I had goosebumps when you said it. So.
It's good stuff. Yeah.
Inspiring, it really was.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
They are. Did you ever think you'd wake up and see half the White House gone?
No.
Well, 9/11, I thought that was a possibility.
Right.
The thing is, he didn't even have a building permit to do any of this, which is truly astonishing.
Just went ahead and did it.
No, yeah. He just went and did it.
Yeah.
They have Ralph and Malf Monroe from Green Acres doing the addition.
Wow. Okay. That's great.
Oh, Green Acres reference. I love them.
There's a reference the 30-something crowd's going to have no idea what we're talking about.
But they should actually watch Green Acres sometime, the original Green Acres.
Whoever wrote that show, I mean, it's kind of what we're living through right now, only kind of like a little Stephen King mixed in with it, but
no kidding.
We're kind of living Green Acres.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. I'll
find that now. Yeah.
We'd love to have you on the show more often than just once every 2 years.
I'm glad to do it. We talked about that at a funeral. That's how I see people now.
That's right. Yes, we ran into each other.
That's right. We did talk about it at a funeral.
No, we'd love to have you back. Yeah, anytime.
That would be great. Yeah. That would be great.
All right.
I just wanted to congratulate you keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate
thanks
it, Sly.
Have a good morning.
Yeah, it was great hearing you.
Sly. Yeah. We
miss him on the air, actually.
Well, so. I know. Yeah, we should have him on a regular basis. Let's work on that. We go so far back with Sly over the years, decades. Yeah, amazing stuff. Okay.
We did talk last at a funeral
one of our radio friends.
Radio friends who passed away.
Mm-hmm. Was that a Jim McGaw's?
No.
Oh, it was. I'm sorry.
He was a voice of WIPA for so many years.
Sly, yes. We'll have him back again. All right, 29 past the hour. When we return after the Midwest Food and Farm Report, we'll check in with Jim Santel, former U.S. Attorney at Law.
Yep, find out what's going on in the courts.
It's all coming up on our 2-year anniversary here of John and Gordy on WMDX.
Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
The chores.
The stores.
Fresh air.
Times Square.
You are my wife.
Goodbye, city life.
Green Acres, we are there.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.